5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. My name is Aramis, and welcome to the podcast that I have created for this project. The serial killer I will be doing is Donald Gaskins, and I guess we shall start. Now, Donald Gaskins was born in Florence County, South Carolina, March 13th, 1933. And let's first talk about his childhood. Now, Donald Gaskins, due to his small body frame, he was like 4 feet maybe he was when he was in elementary school. Due to that height, he was bullied by his classmates, but in particular, he was abused by his stepfather. You know, I mean, he beat him all the time. It was daily. It was such a sad thing, which basically created this prolific serial killer, you know, from South Carolina. It's what started everything from a young age. Now, maybe due to why he, due to him getting bullied in school, at the age of 11, I mean, just 11, that's like, what, fifth grade? It's sad. He dropped out. He quit school and began working on cars at a local garage. I mean, it's crazy. And while he was working there, he got into a lot of trouble, especially after he met two boys by the name of Danny and Marsh. Now, they were all the same age. They all quit school, which is, you know, crazy. But I guess that was a norm for, you know, kids that really didn't have a, I guess, a structured life, if you guys catch my drift. But yeah, these kids would do horrific stuff. They'll burglarize, they will pick up prostitutes, and sometimes this is very disgusting, they will rape little boys. I mean, and they would threaten those little boys that if they told the police or their parents that, you know, they'll come and kill them. It's so sad. But, you know, years passed, time passed, and they ended up separating the whole gang because they got caught in gang raping. They gang raped, actually, Marsha's, one of the boys' little sister. I mean, it's such a messed up story, you know? And for punishment, what they did was the parents of the two other boys, they left Florence County. So Gaskins was left alone, and he didn't stop. He continued burglarizing homes and stuff. And actually, one time in 1946, a girl actually interrupted him while he was, you know, burglarizing a home, and she actually attacked him with an axe. However, he managed to run away, and he hit her in the head with the axe and the arm. However, she did survive, and Gaskins was caught, and he was arrested, and he was convicted for assault with a deadly weapon, intent to kill. And actually, this is not a funny story. I mean, it was kind of like something that surprised me was that, during when he was in the court, when the judge mentioned his name, Donald Gaskins, this was the first time he actually heard his real name. I mean, all his life he's been called Pee Wee, and he's just been bullied. He's just been screamed at, Pee Wee, Pee Wee, Pee Wee. That's just what's been in his head. And then he heard Donald Gaskins. He's like, that's just crazy that the first time he heard his name was when he was already like his late teens, almost an adult. But he was sent to a reform school, and he just continued doing things, horrific things, from raping, attacking. When he was sent to the reform school, which I guess is like a juvenile like juvie, I guess you could say. But he was, due to his small size, he himself got attacked and he was raped. And it's, you know, it's just because he was so weak looking, you know. And then it's kind of like a prison, so just to make himself look, I guess, more superior to the others, he started doing the same things to other boys. He would rape them, he would attack them, and it was horrible, horrible stuff. And he actually eventually did escape the reform school after becoming the boss boy, as they call him, reform school, superior guy. He left the reform school, and weird enough, he married a 13-year-old girl. And I mean, come on, it's already, I mean, from like just the few minutes of me talking, you could already imagine the drama and just the amount of just, I mean, the thoughts that went through his head. Well, or like when he was bullied, which led to all these actions, you know. Now, he did eventually go back to the reform school because, you know, he had to finish his sentence. And when he was released, he went to work on a farm. Now, he was involved in many crimes. He worked with many people at the farm, but he created many crimes, and he just started doing the same thing. When he was committing I believe was insurance fraud, I believe the story is that one of the employer's daughter and the farm caught them. I don't know what they were doing exactly, but they were caught burning the barn, the farm, and one of the employer's daughters caught them. And I guess out of I don't know, to not get caught or something, he split the girl's skull with a hammer he had in his hand. And because of this, he only received 5 years. I mean, that's crazy enough, only 5 years for assault with a deadly weapon, attempted murder, which is just, I don't know, it's crazy. But as you continue, while he was in prison, he attempted to become the power man, which is kind of like the boss boy, you know, how in the reform school, he'll rape the other boys to become the leader. The power man in prison will do the same thing. He'll try to create fear amongst the inmates and make himself look superior. Now, before I move on, I want you guys to listen to a recording of him speaking of the abuse he went through when he was a little kid. Hopefully you guys can hear this. I'm gonna put it right now.
Richard, they'd tear my back and legs up. He'd be red stripes all over my body and legs. And if my sister told him I had done anything, no matter if I had or I had not, they'd beat hell out of me, and I'd go around the house at the corner and start to cry. And they'd rub these big red welts on me. She'd come around where I was at, and she'd tell me, goody, 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 and most of the times I'd slap hell out of her for doing that. And I knew that when I did it, they were going to beat me again. And even if I didn't do it, a lot of times she'd run in the house making like she was crying, and she'd tell my mother that I had slapped her, I'd beat her, and they'd come out there and nearly beat me till I couldn't hardly get up. I had red welts all over my back and everything. And that's the kind of treatment I was got as a childhood.
Now, I mean, that was some recordings from him while in prison, speaking of, talking about his childhood, which is sad, you know. It's like, you kind of understand why he became such a monster. It's because he was just abused, and it was just a cycle. Like, his, as you heard, his little sister would tease him, and then, because he she was teasing him, he'll hit her, and then he'll get beat again by his stepfather. It was just a cycle. It was like, it was just torture, like nonstop torture, and which created, you know, this monster. Now, let's continue. Now let's go later on in his life. In August 1961, he was released from the prison, which he was put in after basically almost killing this girl with a hammer. And he couldn't stop not being a criminal, basically. He continued burglarizing homes, and he would run away from the law, you know, avoid the law and stuff. And it was just, he just kept on doing such and this. And in 1962, Gaskins was actually arrested for statutory rape of a 12-year-old girl, and which he was like, what? He was like in his 20s, and he was with this 12-year-old girl, which is just, it's just really weird. But he did escape the police, and or the law, I guess you could say. I guess he was arrested, but he escaped with this to North Carolina with a stolen vehicle. But he arrived in North Carolina a few months later, years I believe. He met a 17-year-old girl who he eventually married. Crazy enough, she turned him in for statutory rape, and he ended up receiving, I believe, 6 years. Yeah, 6 years in Columbia Penitentiary. In November 1968, he was paroled and made a vow he'll never return again, which he didn't, but his story just becomes a little bit, just a bit darker. Now, his recordings, and, you know, when he was in prison before his execution, which I will talk about that in a few, he talks about these thoughts he had. He had these feelings he called bothersome feelings, and which it was words in his head that told him to do all these horrific acts of raping and killing all these people. And basically it was like a magnet, like he was attracted to the crime because of these feelings, these thoughts in his head. And September 1969, was when he started basically committing the more darker crimes. Yeah, like before they were pretty bad, but it's gonna get worse. He started noticing that when he committed the crimes, he started feeling sort of like relief. You know, he felt good, you know. And in 1969, Gaskins picked up a female hitchhiker in North Carolina, and became angry for some apparent reason. Some say it's because she laughed at his sexual proposition. Maybe he asked her, you know, do something, a favor or something, and apparently she laughed, and that set him off. You know, all these bothersome feelings just started going off in his head, and he ended up beating her until she was unconscious. He raped her and sodomized her and tortured her. He then took her to a swamp area to sink her weighted body, and where she would drown. So she was unconscious, and she would drown in the swamp, the lake. Now, he also talks about how he envisioned raping and torturing and murdering all these people, all his victims. And he kept on saying these, he he wanted to fulfill these butterfly feelings. He wanted to feel good, because that was the only way of doing so, was by actually taking action. Now, he mastered the skill of torture, and often keeping his injured victims alive for days, which just sounds horrific. He was sometimes cannibalized and sever body parts, and he'll eat them, and sometimes forced his victims to eat their own body parts, which is very, very disgusting. Gaskins did prefer female victims, but that didn't stop him from, doing the same to males. And then by 1975, he had about 80 boys and girls, 80 victims, and along the highways of North Carolina, which is why he became so well known as the hitchhiker serial killer, which he'll pick up all these people, wanting a ride, because come on, they gotta get places, and he'll just go right ahead and just do all these horrific things. Now, let's speed up a little bit more, and let's go to when he was 42 years old. Now, he had already been killing people for 6 years and hasn't been caught. And he had been working alone, and he's, never been caught, as I just said. But then he wanted to murder 3 people which he did, surprisingly. But he contracted an ex-con named by the name of Walter Neely. And that was the first time he, asked somebody to help him. And he would tell this ex-con, Walter, about his graveyards, and stuff like that. And it was crazy. And Walter and his girlfriend would try to blackmail him. But he eventually did kill them for that, it shows how, how insane he was. He would just go on a rampage. You just ended up on his bad side. I mean, just a little bit on the bad, on his bad side. He would just go right ahead and kill you. And it was sad. It was so sad. Now, let's talk about a very known the murder that basically led to his capture, or to his arrest, was the torture. It was the killing of, I believe, was Kim Gilkins. Now, Kim Gilkins, she was 13 years old, and she rejected him. Yeah, this 42-year-old man wanted to get with a 13-year-old. And he would kill her, and the police went on to try to find his body, her body, sorry, and they ended up searching Gaskins' apartment, and they saw her clothing, and he was caught, and on May 24th, 1976. Gaskins was convicted for murder of Dennis Bellamy and Gilkins. And basically that was the end of him. And from that point on, he was sentenced to death, but every time the date of his, execution came, he'll tell the police where he hid the bodies, which would create which he will have to go back to court and will prolong his life, you could say, and then they'll have to wait more to get executed, because he didn't want to die. And it came to a point that the court just ignored him, and eventually he was executed. Now, Was gonna hear it's a little another recording of a little documentary, and yeah, the life of this man, it's pretty sad, it's pretty dark. He was bullied from a young age, and he ended up, you know, becoming a monster. And it was just because of how just horrible he was treated, and by his, just because of his size, which could really, it really tells you how, if you raised a, if you raise a little little kid, certain wrong way, you could just create a monster. You know, you could create a, I guess you could say a little Pee-wee, a little Donald Gaskins. So it's, you got to be careful with that. And yeah, his story will be remembered in the South, especially South Carolina, for years to come.
When Pee-wee was executed in South Carolina's electric chair on September 6, 1991, he was 58 years old and had spent more than half of his life in prison. In this excerpt, he is talking about his first prison sentence, prior to which he had already served 5 years in reform school.
Threw a hammer at her in his ear. I threw the hammer across the room, threw one at her in his ear. And that was what that was, and I got 6 years for that. Well, I got 5 years for it, and I cussed the judge and got another year for that.
After several more stretches in state and federal penitentiaries, Pee-wee was paroled again, despite his own and the parole board's strong misgivings.
You might say, not now, but 68, I'm an evil man. Man on the parole board told me, he said, I don't believe you'll be out 6 months, you kill somebody, but we don't give you parole.
Here he discusses the tales of the abduction and torture murder of Peggy Cutino, the crime for which another man, Junior Pierce, was sentenced to life in prison.
Junior Pierce did not kill Peggy Cutino. They took Junior Pierce and tried him for that and everything. He just happened to be an unlucky man. The day she left school, I was working on the ballroom. Peg was drugged and taken to a cement block house about 10 miles out of the country. That house was empty as for anyone living in it. I rented it for $10 a month. It was out in the east side of Sumter. And to keep some of my furniture and other stuff in, I had several cars parked out there, junk cars they were. Peg Cutino was spread eagle out on the bed. She was handcuffed with her hands up over her head to the rounds in the bed there, and her feet was tied out, and she was stripped naked in there.